And we are now in our travel article. We have a 3-day article, and the title is The Circus is in Town. Panelists, are you excited about the circus?
Yeah. Definitely.
All right. Cool. We have two panelists here with me today. My name is Brandon, and I also have...
Hi, my name is Hazel.
And I'm Anna.
And we are very excited to be here and to talk about this travel article and to talk about the circus, talking about clowns. At the very beginning, I mentioned that we're going to clown around. That's just a fun little phrase talking about we're going to have fun, right, Hazel?
That's right. You clown around, you just enjoy life, you act silly, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask Hazel and Anna, have you ever been to a circus before?
I have a few times when I was a younger child, and I think my favorite part was probably the acrobats, seeing them swinging around in the air. But I also really enjoyed the animals, seeing the elephants and the horses and dogs doing different tricks.
Okay.
It was very exciting.
Thank you, Anna. And Hazel, how about you?
Yes, I've been to the circus a few times, and I like the animals, I think, especially the elephants. Sometimes they have poodle shows, you know, the dogs that do tricks. I like that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the animals a lot as well. I like to watch the elephants and the different animals there. I believe as a child, I went to actually the Ringling Brothers and Barlum Bailey Circus, which we're going to talk about this company a lot in this article. So it's a very famous company. And, you know, a lot of children especially love to go to the circus. A lot of children love clowns, but some people don't actually like clowns, right?
That's right. Actually, I'm a bit coulrophobic. So coulrophobia means that you're afraid of clowns.
That is an advanced word.
That is. It is. I actually had to look it up myself. So coulrophobic, afraid of clowns.
Okay. And you are afraid of clowns. Why?
I am. I'm not sure. I haven't had a bad experience with a clown or anything. But I think a lot of villains on TV or in books happen to be clowns, and maybe that's changed the way I look at them.
Oh, yeah. I think of, like, the Joker and Batman, right?
Joker or Stephen King's famous book, It. Also has a clown in it.
Yeah, they sometimes kind of have a creepy effect for some people, but for others, it's, very a happy experience for children to go and see clowns. And I think you've had some experience with being a clown, right, Hazel?
Yeah, I was a clown for a number of years. I would do children's birthday parties. I would be a clown and do magic shows and have balloons and things like that. It was a lot of fun. And actually, the money was pretty good, too. So,
well, that's a win-win situation.
Yes, but it is also a lot of hard work. You know, to put on the makeup takes time, and to get it off takes time, and to have a costume that's fun, and getting the balloons ready, getting your magic ready. So it takes a lot of time, but it is a lot of fun.
I'm sure it was worth it, though, once you saw the smiles on the faces of the children. They were very excited, I assume.
Yeah, Usually the children really enjoyed it. Once in a while they were naughty, and that's hard.
But
usually,
the show sometimes,
usually so. They were pretty good, and it was interesting.
Yeah, I've been a clown once or twice myself, and that was a new experience for me. And but the kids love it, and it does take time to put on the makeup, and I had no idea how to do that. I had to be taught how to put on the makeup, and I guess men. You know, aren't used to putting on makeup in general, so that takes an extra effort for me.
Right. I'm not used to putting on that much makeup, but after a while you can do it pretty well. And it's an interesting job.
Yeah, and so, you know, listeners, maybe you have been to a circus before and you have your own, things that you like about it. Well, we're going to talk a lot about the circus and then over the next 3 days. And so we hope that you will open up your magazines right now. If you have it in front of you, open it up to page 42, and we are going to have our first reading.
The circus is in town. Life is a circus in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Let's begin with the obvious and most pressing question. How in the name of Jumbo the Elephant did a south central Wisconsin town of 12,000 become the circus capital of the world? It all goes back to five brothers. Al, Alf, Charles, John, and Otto, who were raised in Baraboo during the mid to late 1800s. They had a knack for juggling, telling jokes, performing skits, and engaging in general hilarity. By 1884, they had sketched out a routine and pitched a tent to create a show that they named for themselves, the Ringling Brothers Classic and Comic Concert Company. It wasn't long before the brothers bought covered wagons to take their show on the road, touring southern Wisconsin and much of Illinois with a shorter, punchier name, the Ringling Brothers Circus. Each winter, they returned home to Baraboo with their hoard of tigers, elephants, wagons, and the rest.
So where exactly are we traveling to? We're going to the state of Wisconsin in the United States, and we're visiting a small town called Baraboo. And this is a famous town when it comes to the circus. And we actually learned that it is the circus capital of the world. And how do we begin here, Hazel?
Well, we begin with the obvious and the most pressing question. How, in the name of Jumbo the Elephant, did a south central Wisconsin town of 12,000 become the circus capital of the world? That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? How in the name of Jumbo the Elephant? I think a phrase like how in the world might explain it, or sometimes we say how on earth, and they've changed that phrase a little bit because sometimes we say how in the name of something. But here they use the phrase Jumbo the Elephant, which is a very famous circus elephant.
That's right. It is a famous circus elephant, and they use this how in the name of just to emphasize, you know, what they're trying to say here. They're trying to emphasize, how did this happen? This sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And Jumbo the Elephant, it's really interesting to look at the history. It's actually an African elephant, and it was bought by a man named P.T. Barnum. And you know, the Ringling Brothers teamed up with the Barnum and Bailey families, and they all became one circus. So this guy, P.T. Barnum, actually purchased this elephant, and it was huge. And so anyway, his name is Jumbo, and actually people started using this word in the English language. And you think of this elephant, it's huge, and how do we use the word jumbo? It means something really, really big, right, Anna?
That's right. Jumbo is another word for giant or huge.
That's
and
right.
We hear it very often today.
So he purchased this elephant, and it weighed more than 6 tons, which I believe is around 5,443 kilograms. So it's huge. It's jumbo. And this happened in 1882. And so that's what they're referring to when they're talking about Jumbo the Elephant. And we also see that this town in Wisconsin is quite small. Only 12,000 people live there, but it is the circus capital of the world. And Hazel, we learn a little bit about the family, don't we?
Yes, we learn that there were 5 brothers, Al, Alf, Charles, John, and Otto, who were raised in this city or this town during the mid to late 1800s. So we have 5 brothers, and they had a knack for something special.
That's right. If you have a knack for something, it means you have a talent or a gift for things. And here we see it's for juggling and other things, right, Anna?
Right, for telling jokes, performing skits, and engaging in general hilarity. So hilarity here means basically anything funny or that can make you laugh. So these boys were very talented at funny things.
And that's important, isn't it? When you're in a circus, you need to make people laugh.
Mm-hmm,
right?
That's right. So they could do skits to make people laugh, little dramas that would make people laugh and smile. They could juggle, which is throwing things up in the air and catching them, tell jokes, and they were just funny boys, funny guys.
That's right, and they were very good at it. So they had a knack for it. So, you know, when they threw the items up in the air juggling, they were able to do it correctly. If I were to try to do that, I wouldn't be successful.
That's right. It's not very easy. I've tried a few times, and it takes a lot of practice.
Can you do that, Hazel?
I can juggle a little bit.
Oh, really?
But I can drop the items very often as well.
Too bad we're not on TV right now.
Yeah.
Or else
probably good one.
We have a demonstration.
Okay, so they made people laugh by doing all these different things, and we see by 1884 they had sketched out a routine. Now, if you sketch out something, you think of a sketch of kind of a drawing, or you might draw something quickly, but here just means to, you know, to make a rough plan of something. And so they planned out a routine, and they pitched a tent to do what, Anna?
They wanted to create a show that they named for themselves. So the Ringling Brothers Classic and Comic Concert Company.
Okay, so they came up with a name for themselves, and of course, they had a tent back in the day. You know, circuses were always in tents, right?
Yeah. You would pitch a tent, and they called it the high top, I think. And so that would be a great big tent, and people would come and watch the circus in these tents. And then after a few days or a few weeks, they would take down the tent and travel and pitch it up, pitch it someplace again. So to pitch a tent means just to put up a tent.
That's right. Yeah, called the high top or big top, you might say.
Big top.
Right.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. So it wasn't long before the brothers bought covered wagons. Now, listeners, I don't know if you know what a covered wagon is. If you Google it, you'll find out very quickly. Of course, those were used many years ago. This was in the late 1800s, and so there were wagons, and the horses pulled those wagons, and the tops looked kind of like tents, actually. You see those in a lot of old Western movies, right?
That's right.
Right. When people moved out west, they had these covered wagons, so it was kind of a tarp or a canvas over the wagon. And the company used these wagons at first, but I think more with the development of the train system and the tracks, they started to use a circus train to move around. And they went as far as the East Coast and even west past the Rocky Mountains.
So they were traveling everywhere. We see that they were on the road. They took their show on the road. If you're on the road, it means you're traveling from place to place. And these days, you know, maybe musicians, bands, they are on the road a lot. Sometimes they stay in a motorhome, we would say, and they travel around and they're on the road.
Yeah, I think a famous singer, Willie Nelson, actually sings a song, On the Road Again.
Oh, yeah.
Because he travels around a lot.
That's right, yes. So many people who are, you know, singers, musicians, they are on the road a lot. And here, in this case, we're talking about the circus, and they're touring southern Wisconsin. They toured southern Wisconsin and much of Illinois with a shorter, punchier name. Now, Anna, what do we mean by punchier?
Punchier just means very strong. It really grabs your attention. So they chose the name, the Ringling Brothers Circus.
Yeah, it's much shorter. And so it's, you know, a lot of times for a title, you don't want something really long. If you're, whether it's a newspaper or a magazine or the name of a band, you usually want something that's short and catchy. And so they came up with a punchier name. And each winter, what did they do?
Well, they returned to their home of Baraboo. And they brought their hoard. They brought lots of stuff with them, the things that they owned. So tigers, elephants, wagons, and all the other things.
Yeah, so they had all of their animals and all of the things that they cut with them. They brought that back. And just imagine being in the situation where you're on the road a lot and you, you know, it would be difficult, right, to do that,
yes,
to live on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so this wasn't easy, especially when you think back to the wagons. I can't imagine traveling around, you're working in a circus, and you know, you're in these wagons all the time. That's not quite as comfortable as a motorhome.
Well, especially when you've got elephants and tigers and a lot of animals, you've got to have the food and the water for them, and I don't know. Did the elephant ride in a wagon, or did he have to walk along, you know?
So maybe they rode on the elephant.
Slow process.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they were glad when the trains came along. But we see next that this town, they are very proud to be called the circus capital of the world. Let's find out more about that in our next reading.
Proud to be a circus town. Little did the brothers know that their lark would turn their hometown into a place that continues to live and breathe circus 130 years later, and proudly. It's not uncommon to see an elephant walking down the street in Baraboo, said Mary Holtman, a Baraboo resident for 15 years, who owns Raven House Antique Store, which is kind of cool. Baraboo makes clear upon arrival that you're entering a special place. At the edge of town, beside broad Wisconsin cornfields framed by rolling Wisconsin hills, an official state marker declares Baraboo the home of the Ringlings. Just down the road is another important marker. In the front yard of otherwise innocuous small-town bank Badgerland Financial, a plaque proclaims it is the site of the first Ringling Brothers performance on May 19, 1884. Admission cost 25 cents.
Well, these brothers, they started out doing something that they enjoyed, but they had no idea that they would be so successful, right, Anna?
That's right. This interest that they had as children kind of grew into this big company. So the brothers didn't know that their lark would turn their hometown into a place that continues to live and breathe circus. When we talk about this word lark, this word actually has two different meanings. It can mean a bird, but here lark means carefree or spirited adventure. So here they're sharing their carefree and spirited adventure.
Yeah, they went out on an adventure and they didn't know it would, you know, really turn into something big. And it says here, it would turn their hometown into a place that continues to live and breathe circus. That's a good phrase to know, but what does it mean, Hazel?
When you live and breathe something, you focus on it. You think about it all the time. It's a big, big part of your life. Mm. And so the circus is a big part of this town. They live and breathe the circus. And it's been 130 years ago, so they're very proud to have that tradition in their hometown.
Persistent as well. It's a long time
Yes.
to have that tradition going on there. And you can live and breathe, you know, anything really. You think about maybe if you like basketball, you live and breathe basketball, meaning you play basketball all the time and you're doing different things related to basketball. Maybe you live and breathe teaching, for example. You're really into teaching and you do that all the time. And so this is really something that they are accustomed to, and they enjoy being this town that's called the circus capital of the world. And then we meet a lady here, and she is a resident of Baraboo. And what does she say?
Well, Mary Holtman of Baraboo says that it's not uncommon to see an elephant walking down the street. And this really fascinated me because I've spent a lot of time in small town Wisconsin. Both my grandparents and my parents come from small town Wisconsin. And the culture there is very conservative, very traditional. A lot of the population there comes from a very stoic German and Dutch heritage, a lot of farmer country there. And so to see something as exotic as an elephant walking down the street, that really fascinated me.
Yeah, I can't imagine seeing an elephant walk down the street. That would be quite strange, especially in a big city here in Taipei. But anyway, that is somewhat common there, and they're okay with it because they live and breathe circus. So
That's
they're used
right.
to it, right, Hazel?
That's right. Well, Mary might also live and breathe antiques because she owns the Raven House, which is an antique store. But at the end of her sentence is interrupted by who she is, but it says, which is kind of cool. So seeing an elephant walk down the street is kind of cool. It's really fun. It's interesting. She likes it.
Yeah,
they seem to be very proud of their little town.
I think so. I would imagine if you were in a hurry and you got behind an elephant, that might be a problem, but otherwise it is kind of cool. Yes. Well, so she owns this antique store, and antiques, of course, you have old rare items, maybe furniture, for example, mm-hmm. little trinkets and so forth. And so that's what she does there in the town of Baraboo. And we see that Baraboo makes clear upon arrival that you're entering a special place. And how do they describe that, Anna?
Well, first they talk about some of the landscape in Wisconsin, so it's very rural. Corn is a big crop there, so it discusses the cornfields there and the hills. And then it says there's an official state marker declaring that Baraboo is the home of the Ringlings. So they have a big sign that is welcoming you to the home of the Ringlings. They're obviously very proud of this legacy that they have.
Yeah, so we get a descriptive picture here. We see that. Broad Wisconsin cornfields are there, and then we have the is framed by rolling Wisconsin hills. So framed meaning it's kind of bordered or it surrounds it. And so you get a picture of what it looks like there. It's not a big bustling city, of course. There are cornfields. It reminds me kind of where I grew up. I grew up on the countryside. There are cotton fields all around, and there's some farmers. And where my parents live, there are trees all around. So I can really relate to this kind of thing. And it wouldn't surprise me to, you know, see something going down the street, a horse or something, for example, because it's in the country. It's very different.
Mm-hmm. But have you ever seen an elephant?
No. I wouldn't go that far.
That would surprise you. Okay.
Tractors, very slow tractors.
Sure. But not elephants. All right. Well, down the road, there's another important marker, it says, and that one is in the front yard of an otherwise innocuous small town bank. So innocuous can mean insignificant. It doesn't really stand out. It just kind of is there. And this small bank that doesn't really stand out, it has a plaque that proclaims it is the site of the first Ringling Brothers performance. So many years ago, that was where the Ringling Brothers started showing their act to the public, and it only cost 25 cents at that time.
That's amazing. I looked up the prices now, and $10 for an adult ticket, but that doubles in the summertime. So it's really grown quite a bit more. You can kind of see the result of inflation, right, as prices go up.
And I imagine $10 is you're up in the high seats where you don't see as well.
Yeah, that's a pretty good price.
Because that sounds like a pretty good price, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was expecting much more, too.
Mm-hmm. In the summertime, I guess you pay $20, right? And so, you know, it's still not too bad, actually. That doesn't sound too bad, but much more expensive than 25 cents. So they have these markers. Basically, there's just a sign there that declares something. And so we see basically here that this town, they are very proud to be called the circus capital of the world, and they want everyone to know it. As Anna was talking, you know, saying earlier that, you know, in Wisconsin, I guess maybe there's a lot of small towns, I guess, more conservative. They're trying to draw people into this town. Think of a town of 12,000 people. You know, most people would just drive through that town and never know about it, you know. But here, they're trying to draw people in by being the circus capital of the world. Otherwise, you know, no one would know about it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what they're trying to do. And so they have these different markers and plaques and so forth to let people know more about the circus and what kind of town it is and how everything started and the history of the circus. And so it's quite interesting to take a look at this small town in Wisconsin. Now, we're coming toward the end of today's broadcast. But, you know, before we end, I want to go back and ask our panelists to really point out a word or two that they think is good for all of the listeners to remember. And I'll start with Hazel.
Well, a word that I like is punchier. That's a little bit punchier or has a better ring to it, you might say, easier to remember. So maybe the phrase would be shorter, but easier to remember, more fun, punchier.
Very good. And Anna?
Well, I like the phrase live and breathe. A lot of times we like to talk about our interests, right? And it's very easy to be always repeating, I like this and I like that. But if you want to kind of spice up your conversation and really express that you really enjoy something, you can try to say live and breathe. I live and breathe something.
Okay, very good. And I like that word there, hoard. And so, of course, that's just talking about a large amount or a large group of something. And so here we see a hoard of tigers. And this is a good word to know. It's kind of different. You may not use it every day. But again, it's something that you just, you know, it's a large group of something. And so you imagine in a circus, there are tons of, you know, different animals and items that you need. And so they needed all that stuff as they were traveling around, going from town to town.
And can't you use that as a verb to hoard things?
Yeah.
To collect things and you don't want to let go of them. And before you know it, you have too many things.
Yeah.
Sometimes we hear about people hoarding dogs or cats and they just have maybe 50 cats or something. And that would be unusual and kind of sad, actually. So you can hoard things.
I believe there's a TV show in America, actually, where they go around and they try to help people who have all of the stuff, and they help them to get rid of it. Now, sometimes I also hoard things. I'm bad about getting rid of stuff.
It's easy to hoard things, isn't it?
Yeah, especially small things like papers and different things.
Right.
I just throw it all together in a bag somewhere. But anyway, some people really have a lot of problems with that.
Right, and I believe we call those hoarders,
that's
correct?
Right.
Hoarders.
Yes.
So here we have hoard the noun, hoard the verb, and then hoarders.
That's right. So many different ways to use that word. And, you know, there are other words here that we don't have marked. Actually, this article in particular has many words throughout that are not marked. And you can go ahead and highlight them and look them up and start including those in your vocabulary because, you know, this article really has a lot of words. And so we encourage you to read ahead for tomorrow. We will talk about the Clown Hall of Fame, and we hope that you, you know, find that to be interesting. And so today we've talked about this town in Wisconsin that is proud to be called the circus capital of the world. And we've learned about this company, the Ringling Brothers Circus. And today, if you go onto their website, ringling.com, you will see that it's not called that anymore. It's actually called Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey. So they've combined with another group of people, and that happened back in around 1907, I believe. And so over time, they got together with some other people that had another circus, and it's really, I think, one of the most famous circuses around. Hazel or Anna, have you been to that circus before?
I don't think I have.
Okay.
Yes, I've been there several times.
Okay, you've been there several times, and how was it?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's very good. It used to be in big tents. Now sometimes they're in big arenas. It's not always a tent.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had the big tops before, but usually now they are in arenas in this modern age. Well, we hope you will join us again tomorrow. Until then, this is Brandon.
Hazel.
Anna.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye,
everyone.